Let's talk about relapse disease in terms of second and third line therapy. Can you talk a little bit about how you think that question through, let's say in a patient who's an older patient?
Yeah, I mean, so right now, most of my patients who have progression are progressing on ibrutinib. And so I would switch to venetoclax right now. And I think that's an appropriate option. I mean, we still have lenalidomide too, which I've used less and less in this setting, but it is still out there and still an appropriate option for some patients. But I've been using venetoclax as my second line therapy. Now, once we start adopting the CLL14 study where venetoclax is used up front with obinutuzumab, I'm not really sure what I would use second line, but it would likely depend on the durability of response from their frontline therapy. So somebody who's had a very long remission after upfront venetoclax obinutuzumab could either get ibrutinib second line or venetoclax again. I would think about that. There's no data just yet, but I'm just sharing how I would think through that patient. Whereas if they have really primary refractory or an early relapse, that might be somebody you'd want to move more quickly to something like a CAR-T.
What's kind of beyond that for you, and particularly where do PI3 kinase inhibitors fit in?
Yeah, so PI3 kinase inhibitors in CLL, I think, have a lot of competition. You know, between the ibrutinib and the venetoclax, by the time somebody is considered for a PI3 kinase inhibitor, they're going to have very, very difficult to control disease. I mean, there are PI3 kinase inhibitors that are available. Idelalisib is out there. There are several others on the horizon, including umbralisib. And I think it would be third line, but it would be quite palliative. My hope is that they can be tested in combination, which might make them a little bit more effective.